I'm not him, so bugger off. Leave me be, you foul knocker. Fine. Maybe some steel will dissuade you. You'll rue the day you knocked on my door. Now, where about did I put my sword? Ah, here it is. How about you?
Oh, it's you. It's good to see you. Is that a bottle of plum mead? Even better to see you. Please, come in. Excuse the mess. I would have tidied up a bit if I knew you were coming. I'll just clear a chair for you. I'll sort that out later. Can I offer you a drink, maybe? I'm sure there's a clean tankard round here somewhere. Or we could just drink from the bottle like we used to when we're on the road, eh? Ooh, Eerie Light Meadery. Now that's the good stuff.
Hello, and welcome to the Lamp Noobs. This one I think is going to be a bit of a weird one.
It's a Christmas special, Ian.
It's a Christmas special. Let's just call it what
it is. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Yeah.
It's also going to be one of those episodes where if you're not listening to it at Christmas time, then this is just horrible. But it's Christmas time, so...
Yeah, and I think we just... I think I want to go over like maybe some sort of topics that maybe exist outside the realm of what we normally go into in sort of like breakdowns of individual Empire events and things like that. Kind of more kind of overarching things that I think we've... like a more of a reflection on where we've come from and through LARP where we are now and how we feel about it all.
Okay, I can dig it.
Yeah, so I guess I really wanted to start just a, like going back to what we both expected going into our first event in hindsight as compared to how we think of it now.
Yeah, so, I think it's like... I wouldn't have said that I would have been into LARP as much as I am now. Like, I'm way more into it now than I ever thought I would be.
Yeah, and like, I thought I would be into it, right? But I thought it would just be like a fun thing to do, right?
Yeah, like, I think the extent that it bleeds out into the rest of my life, right? Before going, I think I kind of just assumed it's the four events a year.
Exactly,
and
right?
You only... really experience LARP for those time in moments, whereas actually it's, you think about it quite a lot. You think about what you're going to do, what happened,
you know? Yeah, and it starts occupying this kind of other area in your life, right, where you can kind of sort of your thoughts move to LARP and the LARP sort of world you're in and the character and how the character's kind of almost living over this long period of time between events.
Well, yours has lived a long period of time. My character's still very much younger again. But I do see the appeal in having a long-lasting character, you know? Well, let me put it this way. When Ifan died and we did the whole funeral thing, that was like, wow.
Yeah.
Like, look how much has gone on in that time frame. Which you don't really appreciate at the time, you know what I mean? And then you're like, so when you get to reflect back on it, you go, holy crap, that was something, you know?
Yeah, and it's weird, like, actually, in some ways, that wasn't that many events worth of build-up to Ifan.
How many was it? Six? Seven?
Yeah, five or six.
Yeah.
And, like, if you think about it, from those five events, you managed to build a part of a story arc, you know what I mean? Like, that whole kind of...
But how do you feel about that now? Because your character's, like, hitting a interesting stage, right? Where you're in this... You're not aimless, right?
No.
But you are lacking direction, right?
Yeah, I think often at events it comes down to what you actually manage to achieve and how much you put yourself forward to try and achieve.
Yeah.
And I think I've kind of maybe done a few things, like sort of going to seeing different sort of nations and sort of talking to them, and I've done sort of selling stuff and sort of making contacts and things when I was making my books and selling those and things, for example.
Yeah. You've made some great contacts, right?
But it's just over time I've managed to build up a certain sort of low level sort of knowledge across Empire, and the difference between, I think, what you've done is you've gone you've pointed your game very specifically at certain targets and gone for it.
Yeah.
But I think I've tried to do more of a
I think your approach is better. Honestly, like it has different things, right?
But the problem
is that once you get to the point where your entire weekend is based on one thing, and that thing happens, even if it happens or it doesn't happen, it can kind of it's you can feel a bit aimless in what the fuck you like.
I mean,
how are you going to approach the rest of the weekend, let alone your next event? You know.
Yeah, I think it also. Last event ended specifically for my character, I think, at a really interesting point where now I've got things like the council for the Intertwined Paths that I'm on, which is like a thing. Each of my events is a thing for me, right? That's something that actually, like, there's so many other elements of the game that don't need me, right? Yeah. That's a thing that I'm sort of part of and committed to that needs me, and it's going to meet each time. You know what I mean? Like, if Talos was there, he would go.
I almost want to have, like, just a trumped-up title so I can go along to those meetings, because they sound great, you know?
Yeah.
It's good to have, like, I think the internal politics thing is a really fascinating part of what we're doing, and it's one of the... should be the, some of the proudest achievements of the people involved to actually have this structure and have it all.
It's... What's going to be really cool is, because we're all... there's so many just really, really awesome people in the Intertwined Paths. Like, honestly, everybody is amazing. But that means that as awesome people who are, have awesome relationships with each other, we can also explore that thing of what if we want to do, I see different things from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And you can kind of like, you can have that environment where you can explore those kind of options.
I think creating the thing is easier than maintaining the thing, right? Yeah. Because everyone's come into it with like really good intentions.
Mm.
What happens if there is a rift?
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
I think it'll be fascinating because I think there's certain things we can settle politically, and then there's certain things that different groups might have that are sort of crossing points. And it's different to know where those are at any time.
Yeah, I think it would be interesting to see because at the moment we all agree on certain things.
Yeah.
But, like, if you completed said objectives, then you start getting to the point, like, what next?
Yeah,
you know, and that's when you might get disagreements. Lucky we're all
we all get on. It's like,
but it also has common cause, right?
It's really good. I mean, this is one thing as well. I think sometimes in fiction especially, you get these characters who are kind of outsiders, right, and place themselves outside a certain area of socialization and things, right, because the coolness is to kind of be that sort of mythic wanderer kind of style,
the Aragorn thing. Yeah, whatever.
But in LARP, that character doesn't translate very well. It's very hard the pursuits are social.
Yeah,
right. That's
the game's designed to, the more people you know and can work together with, the more you will achieve in the game.
Yeah,
like that's, it's just built in, it's baked into how the design works, right?
Yeah.
So
you have to have a certain social configuration of how your character is actually going to be, right? And understand that they have to be driven by a certain degree of social interaction.
I think that's what's great about LARP, because there are people that go that maybe aren't the most confident, and that's fair. But it allows them to, like, if you want to do the thing, then go and talk to the person.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's just like, you might not get what you're after, but at the same time, you're getting good game out of it, you know?
And I think there's a really interesting thing in, it makes you excited to have an interaction with somebody about something that, if it was in normal life, would be mundane and even irksome.
Have you had this thing where, because when you're walking around the field loads, you start to recognize certain people, right? And then you start to build up like, oh, I know, I've never met this person, but I know bits and pieces about them. When you bump into some of these people, interact with them, it's like you kind of like fanboy out a little bit sometimes when you meet like really important figures that you're like, wow, this is you're that person. That's cool.
When you go up to a group of people and say, I need to learn about this, can you tell me? They point you in a direction, and then you get that walk from wherever you've got that information. It's probably just like a couple of tenths to the left, right?
Mm-hmm.
That walk from there to there is excitement build up and nerves build up to the conversation you're going to have to get that information.
I'll tell you one thing that's like trying to track people down. You can spend hours trying to, because everyone's busy doing their own thing. It's not like loads of people stay exactly where they are, right?
Yeah.
Especially the more important people. You'll have a thing where it's just like, you'll have to wait to speak to somebody sometimes.
Mm.
That's how busy some of these people that show up, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not sure I would ever want that, right?
That's a hell of a thing. Like, but maybe, like, that could be really awesome to have for a little period of time. Maybe they can just kind of...
I suppose if you're... It depends whether you're, like, emotionally engaged or not, right?
Yeah.
Because if it's just... If it just becomes a job,
yeah,
right? Oh, I've got to go through them. I've got to send this off. I've got to have this meeting with this person. Mm. Oh, I've got to allocate these funds. I need to do that. But if you're really like, no, I'm allocating these funds because we can achieve this and I want to work with these people, then...
Yeah, I think, it has to be done. It has to be motivated by the
designer. Look at the Empress, right? If you're taking on... Like, that's like having a whole... You have a normal job.
Yeah.
And then, on top of that, you've basically got another full-time job with doing... I mean, I've heard, like, of spreadsheets. And this goes for senators and a whole bunch of people, like alliance spreadsheets.
Yeah.
So they can really work out who owes what to who and who they're friends with and tidbits that you might have on someone. Like, there are whole dossiers out there based on this stuff.
It's crazy.
Can you imagine that? Like, and then you go to work on Monday, like, and have, like, a normal life where you've just been scheming and plotting.
And I think, it is... I guess we were talking a little bit about this, actually, on the drive up to... record another thing yesterday.
Yeah.
The misperception, I think, that certain people sometimes have about doing anything that is based in fantasy or based in something beyond the mundane.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the fun thing about it is not how different from your own reality it is, but how it, sort of you can see, again, things that within that fantasy can be sort of put under a microscope and explored.
Yeah, totally. It also, you get to, you can do things to bigger extremes.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so, but you can set up archetypes and tell real world stories through fantasy. Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, and I think LARP's given, like, really good opportunities to sort of just, you know, see that sort of thing, the idea of just exploring this world and learning lore and having allowing that to occupy a part of my brain, right? Mm-hmm. I think it triggers something. That's like having, like, you don't have to necessarily be a what you'd call a creative person, in air quotes, right?
Mm.
Like, you can be, immerse yourself in a creative pursuit, which LARP is, and I think it ignites something. I think it's, you know, that in that sense, it's a very useful sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it's really kind of, I think for me, like, it's given me goals that I've actually achieved doing stuff to LARP related, right? And that has made me want to do more things and succeed in completing those too.
Not to sound too heavy on this,
yeah.
But when I was at a period in my life when LARP came into it, where I didn't realise what LARP would become, right? That we spoke about before, but also how it was just at the right time,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think that's part of it as well. Like, I've learned loads about myself through. Even stuff like, do you know, like, things like when I was trying to go for leadership roles in the military, and they said, who wants to be my second or something like that, wasn't it? Who wants to go on the battle, wasn't it? Yeah, who wants to go on the battle?
Yeah.
And I had to put my case forward of why I wanted to go or whatever.
Yeah, and you didn't, right?
And I didn't.
Yeah.
And that was weird because, like, I've always thought of myself as, oh, I'm the sort of person that doesn't really mind speaking in front of groups of people. You know, it's one thing that it just doesn't really... But that completely flummoxed me. I had to really ask questions about myself.
I think
myself.
It was then later on when you'd made that agreement to that you would get called out. You out and then you didn't step out.
Yeah.
And I think at the time you were a bit confused, but I think it also the nerves were a massive aspect of that.
So it's funny how even me thinking about, like, oh, that's definitely, I'm fine with stuff like that, clearly not. And it got me thinking about it, OC. Mm. And it actually has, like, me trying to put myself forward more confidently in social interactions.
Mm.
That's, like, you kind of dry run it at LARP every interaction you have, right? Because you're going up to someone and you're as a cold caller, effectively. Yeah. So you get to keep on repeating that process of talking to strangers or having to step up or speak loudly. It's good shit. In my real world, it had definitely had an effect.
No, I'm saying, like, I think also, like, and over the period of this time period, that was a sort of a storyline that I had always thought had affected you.
Mm.
Like that, I think, Corley, and I saw real, like, actual real world, like, improvement from it, which was crazy, right? And I could see that that was something that you were thinking
about.
Yeah,
and we should be really careful when we talk about this stuff. Like, there's a difference between, like, you know, there are some problems that people have that are that you need a professional.
Yes.
Right?
Definitely.
And I know that some people do go to LARP and maybe try and expect too much from it sometimes, trying to practice to be something and then expecting, being worried that something bad might happen and something bad might happen.
Then
you feel worse about it. So that's not what we're saying here. But these it's a subtle change, but it's something that I'm really... LARP's given me a lot back. I mean, also, like, the context of doing the podcast as well, right? And like, that's part of this as well. Like, it's hard to... Like, they're definitely separate things in my head, the podcast and LARP.
Yeah.
But they both came at the same time. Yeah. So it's very interesting to kind of, like...
I really wanted to ask you about this. I wanted to ask you... Because when we first... We're talking about doing this.
Mm.
Okay, so I wanted to do it first. I got you into it.
LARP.
And then you said... You kind of immediately really brought up the idea of doing a podcast.
Yeah.
And, Why was that? Was it just like...
It was... So... Yeah, this is, I'll just go through it all. So, basically in my 20s, I did an awful lot of like short films and TV work and things like that.
Yeah.
And I went through a phase where I wrote scripts, I tried to get them made, and couldn't get them finished. I couldn't get them made.
Yeah.
Right? They were just too big, I needed too many people, and it was just... They never came together. Project after project after project after project.
Yeah.
And it really weighed down on me. Yeah. Like, I hate not finishing a project, so to go on this run of, like, over the years, you know? So it really was just... I wanted to do something where I could make it and just finish something off.
Yeah.
So the first one is definitely, if you listen to it again, it's a one shot.
Yeah.
Right? I think we talk about right at the end, like, oh, we could do something else with this. But really, that was...
We like, had where no was idea at? Of what we were going to try and attempt to do.
No.
The idea of what it was going to be evolved before we even went to the first event.
But even stuff like doing the intros and outros.
Yeah.
Like, that's like me and Bung just hanging out and doing that stuff. And that's developed into something like...
I can't even remember where the idea of that came from.
I think I wanted to do it, and then I spoke to Bung about it, and then, I think that's just how it started. I think it was either me or Bung.
Yeah.
I think it might have been me started it, and then Bung really ran with it, you know?
And I think what's been interesting for me is I think that that element of the podcast as well, the intros and outros, have much more become, like, in my mind, like, something really creative and awesome for you. Like, but specifically for you, I think.
Yeah, it's therapeutic. Really thing. It's 100% therapeutic. Just like, I know they're dumb, right? They're kind of like these little, and they're a bit silly, and sometimes they don't work all that well. But, like, for me, just to do it and go through the process of recording with Bung and other people now, and then being like, putting it all together, put the sound effects on it, and release it. It feels great finishing projects.
Yeah.
It's that mechanism, that feel-good mechanism that doing the podcast now gives me. It's like... Yeah. Complete the project. It's good. Box it up.
Yeah.
Send it out. And then people are kindly enough to listen to it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like when we say this, when it's like the listeners are like people enjoying listening to the podcast is a byproduct of us doing something that we really enjoy. Yeah. Yeah. Right? Yeah. And when we stop enjoying doing the podcast, then no one will want to listen to it anyway. Yeah. Because the entire point is that we are enjoying it. Right? So I think that's kind of... I don't know, that's kind of where I'm at with it, really.
Oh, I think it's just been really useful. I mean, and just the fact of why we started doing it, like, in terms of just, like, keeping almost like a, I don't know, like a record almost of what it, of our experiences.
Yeah.
And as you say, to complete projects at the same time.
It came, like I said, I don't want to go too much into it, but it came at just the right time, and it's developed into this wonderful hobby, and we only get the benefits from it. We haven't had any of the weird stuff. Like we talk about this, like I feel like a dog chasing a car sometimes with promoting it.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I'm so happy with how many people we have now that are just, they're just really nice people.
Yeah.
All the feedback we get is, so we get people giving us honest feedback about episodes, but it's never malicious, right? Everyone's just really nice. Yeah,
everyone wants it to succeed and stuff. And we the support's been amazing.
We have people from like South Africa messaging us. Like, we got, they're all four around the world. We've blown up in Kazakhstan. Like, what the hell? Who's in Kazakhstan listening to it? That's mental.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's been awesome. It really has been awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it feels like Christmas. That's how warm and fuzzy it makes me feel, you know?
I mean, yeah, when you look back over the whole sort of 2 years? Is there like an overarching kind of theme that you think kind of comes to you, of like anything that you think specifically?
There's weird things like the intros and outros. Having gone back and listened to them again now,
yeah,
in their kind of like the long form, there's loads of weird little like morality tales, and it's interesting to see, because we didn't plan like big overarching stuff really. It's a lot of it's on the fly, but there's like weird themes in it that I'm like, I kind of agree with a lot of the themes in those intros and outros, and it's just like, wow, that's kind of weird how a creative pursuit can kind of like, you know.
Well, it's also interesting to see, because it went from being essentially just quirky setups of intros and outros,
sketches,
To then it kind of moved into a storyline that had a kind of a narrative slowly being injected in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and I think what was interesting at that point, I think it became like, because we used to kind of back and forth on the scripts a fair bit, and I've looked at some of the scripts you've done since, but I think there was a sort of a transition period where it was like, it really became like a story that you wanted to tell.
Yeah.
And I was aware of that, and I think it was really cool.
Well, I think it's more like, because me and you always bounce ideas off each other anyway, but you're always nice to have a sounding board. Let's face it, like, we're making it sound like it's some sort of massive, like, it means a lot to me, and it's like I said, it's not perfect, right?
But I think that it's the challenge, like, because you have to go out and get recordings.
Yeah, and it's like, you're dealing with people, and time, you're dealing with non-actors with very limited kit, and it's just like, but it's such a fun process to do, right? Like, like, all the different people, like, some of the outtakes are just, if I had the energy to cut it together, like, it's hilarious, like, listening to people, like, you know, and like, so, like, Giovanni.
Yeah.
Giovanni's a guy I work with. He's a voiceover at work. He just does, like, commentaries. But I was saying to him, he said, like, oh, yeah, I'll be up for doing it. And then he came in and was just like, he just Giovanni'd it up. And it was
fantastic.
It's really fun. Yeah. Like,
But he doesn't even go to LARP, right? Like,
no,
like,
nothing. No, he sometimes listens to the podcast just because he likes listening to us chat. And I'm like, that's okay. All right, dude, that's cool. But yeah, it's funny. He likes it because it's just like, he said it's really relaxing just to listen to. And I'm like, hey, yeah, that's fucking... If you get something out of it, man, that's cool. Like, for sure. I don't want to make it...
round it up.
The intros and outros are like, I don't know what they're going to be in the future now. Yeah. Like, I've got a rough idea of something that I'm writing at the moment, but it's just like, it's a lot.
Yeah.
The actual Tower of Anarch episode was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, the timeline, I should post a picture of the timeline because it's just so big. It's so ridiculous. I don't think I have the time or energy to put myself through that again for a very long time. And it's 20 minutes.
I think we'll see. Like, when you get to next year and you're kind of building up whatever narrative you're going to go for next, who knows? Maybe.
Yeah, I think I want the scale to get a little bit smaller again, just for a little while, so I can just, you know, hang out with Bung again and do that simply. But cool. How are you feeling about all the podcasty stuff? Where are you at with it? What do you think about it?
I think the podcast's just really useful for me. Just like, I actually listen back to, like, it was a bit weird, but I listen back to myself and like to some of our early episodes.
Yeah, I find it hard.
But like, I get a fair amount of kind of walking around time and things. And for me, I really do use it as like a way to remember different events and think about different things 100%. That happened.
Yeah.
And I find that really useful.
Yeah,
and then
massively.
Like, the
Orcs Planet people said the same thing, right? It's a memory of a time. And it's just like, ours really is, like, because we literally go through stuff that happened that, like, we might have forgotten about.
And the thing is, like, sometimes I'll even listen to a story and in my memory I'm thinking, oh, yeah, I kind of explained that wrong. That's not quite how it was.
Definitely.
But then through realising that I'm telling it incorrectly, I can remember the real version.
Yeah.
And then I can kind of explore the real version, you know. So it's interesting.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, I'd highly recommend... Well, I shouldn't recommend. It's not for everyone producing stuff that people are going to listen to. There is a weird thing about, like, people knowing you. We haven't had too much of that, but
I think that the audio aspect of it was really useful as well.
Yeah,
like, I don't think,
like, both me and you have faces for radio, right? But
but it's also like the everything else, the difficulties involved in doing video, and like, sort of in terms of like having to turn and face the camera,
but LARP as well. Like, it's I didn't there wasn't I think that the whole thing about doing it just audio was like just a technical thing, and it just
made it easy.
It made it easy. It made it something quick to do. So, yeah, I'd like to hear more like I watch a lot of YouTube. I'd love to see more people producing stuff. I always say this, but I'd love to see more people producing stuff. I think it would be really fun to kind of see different people's take on it.
Because you're only obviously getting like two. I mean, still fairly inexperienced players' perspective on their own. I mean, very individual experiences.
Yeah, a very tiny aspect of the game. Like, there must be people having all sorts of crazy adventures.
I mean, exactly. I mean, I find it crazy, like, when we think about our characters, like the times we think we've pushed it, like, compared to some people, we haven't pushed it at all. Right?
Well, it's part of, like...
Some people are super hard out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like...
But how much of that is like people's like you can I always bang on about like people climbing their own Everest, right? So I've got a friend of mine, he's had battled with weight here and there over his life, right? So when we're talking about exercise, like for him, like starting off with going for a stroll was his Everest, right? Like a 20-minute walk blew the guy out, right? Whereas for me it was a different thing, but that's just I'm rambling on.
No, I know what you mean though.
So when you're at LARP, some like we were talking about before, going up and speaking to a stranger might be someone's Everest, right? For other people, it's standing in front of the Senate and doing that, you know? So it's like, I don't know, it's hard to balance someone's achievements. And I'd also say that it is great to achieve things at LARP, but the journey there is far more important than the actual end result of what that might actually look like.
Because you're going to spend most of your time doing the journey, right?
Really inspirational, Caro, our friend Robert, when he did the whole raising money, was it for an army or raising troops for a fight, right?
Yeah, which is actually very hard to do.
Oh, when he did it, how many people were genuinely happy for him, and to watch him so happy, and everyone was happy for him. That was a real thing. That was a real moment, and it was so great and inspiring.
Yeah,
and it couldn't be happier for the man, right?
The pride of just simply being, I know that man.
Yeah,
I know that man.
Yeah, and also like you're slapping him on the back, and he's like, you know, just beaming because of how happy he is for it. It's like, that shit's real, right? Yeah. That's as real as anything else, right?
Oh, so that was amazing. That was probably actually one of the best LARP moments.
Yeah, to watch someone else win like that.
Like,
and because of the hard work they had to put in.
Yeah.
Like his Everest, he climbed it like a motherfucker and got up there and just planted his flag down, you know what I mean? Like, bam.
Yeah. That was a fucking great moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what's going to happen? We've got a whole year ahead of us now. It's Christmas now, but it's going to be... We're going to be into LARP soon.
Player events, and then... and then next year. And the whole of Empire is very interesting setting for next year to be in. And where we are at and how involved we're going to be is going to be really interesting.
I was really lost at the end of E4.
Yeah.
Right? But now I'm already like... Oh man, I could do this. And I'm realizing that I've got loads of game coming up, and it's just like, you know, I'm just so fucking hyped to get back on the field, basically, even if it is miles away. Those player events are going to be very interesting.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how that goes.
I don't know. Should we do let's see how it goes. We might do a podcast for those. Yeah. We might not. Who knows? But yeah, pretty exciting. Specials coming out around this time. I don't know when I'm going to order. There might be no specials out apart from the Songs of Story one by the time this episode comes out.
We'll see.
And then we'll have loads more. So
I mean, there's stuff coming basically, and
it's been a blast.
Yeah,
right.
Actually, it's been a lot really of stuff, good time. Like, because we really enjoy doing the actual event episodes. Like, they're awesome. But it's actually been quite nice to go and do some other things. And
doing the specials is like for me, and it's just like. Just being a new player from 2 years ago, it's like now that I get to go and just talk to people that I want to go and talk to in big long form conversation about something I really enjoy doing. Yeah. So it's just an absolute treat to go and do them. Really, you know what I mean?
Like, no, I think that's been really awesome.
Yeah, they've had a good. They're going to whenever they get released or they have been released, they're pretty. They're going to be a good time to listen to, I think. So,
yeah. Well, should we round it out there?
Yeah, we should. We've been rambling around for like, I don't know,
what I wanted it to be honest with you.
Right.
Was just like an opportunity for us to actually just kind of go over all of the other ancillary sort of stuff in whatever way our brains could flow at the time.
Yeah, it's also nice to say Merry Christmas to all of our wonderful listeners.
Merry Christmas, guys.
We hope you. I mean, it's a rough time of year for some people, but you know it is, right? Yeah. So whatever you're doing, think about others, be nice to each other and stuff. But thank you so much for listening, basically.
Oh, and thank you to our Patreons as well.
I was going to forget the patrons anymore because those beautiful people, long suffering. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just they're the real heroes. They're the real heroes. Those poor, poor people, forgotten about, abused.
The stamina is legendary.
I just feel bad for them. They're just such nice people to support us, you know what I mean? Like, we're effectively paying for this, which they can get for free. Like, they're so generous and nice.
Oh, thank you so much, guys.
Yeah, we don't deserve it, but thank you so much, guys. Really appreciate it. Hope you have a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, and, Merry Christmas, guys.
We'll join you again soon. Thanks again. Yeah. Have a great day.
So, how have you been? Ah, good, good. Me? You know, I've been keeping busy. To be honest, I've been better. It's not that nobody believes us. The Tower of Anok and Vengeance Cults. I'm not sure I'd believe it myself. I don't even mind derogatively being called the Narrator. As nicknames go, I quite like it. It's... Leah, I just keep playing it back in my mind. Over and over, she was right there. I had her. If I'd just managed to keep my grip, she would be alive today. I just wish there was a way I could have swapped places with her. Why did we make it and she didn't? What have you got there? Another letter? Just add it to the pile over there. That one. I've got at least a dozen already. Look, just leave it. My adventuring days are over. What if I get someone else killed? What if I got you killed? Fine, pass it here. I'll give it a read. To my old friend, it has been too long since we last saw each other,
and would have preferred to be writing this letter during happier times. Unfortunately, I'm writing to you in search of urgent aid. I believe there are malicious forces at work here in Brager's land. Lives are in danger. I fear this letter will not reach you in time. Please come to Two-Staff as soon as you're able. Sincerely yours, John Miller.
John Miller? Now, there's a name I haven't heard in a very long time. We used to do jobs together years ago. He was an extremely capable fellow back then. Practically fearless in the face of danger. I wonder what's got him so concerned. Still, it's probably safer for everyone for us to stay out of this. We will only make things worse. Oh, don't mess with the disembodied head of wisdom again.
Without the fear of failure, there can be no triumph of success. Without the lows, there are no highs.
Well, I guess the head does make a good point. Fine, you put on some coffee, and I'll get packing.